سم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرع إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Well, the topic I have for tonight, it's just a general knowledge for you, because what is going to be mentioned is just to get an idea of what the riwayat talk about the files of an individual. Now, it's quite a lengthy topic, but I'll just shed some light on it so that you get an idea of it. And most of the things that will be mentioned over here, alhamdulillah, they are not found in us. Some of those issues that are present in this lengthy hadith from the Prophet of Islam, they might be a reminder to each one of us. The files of an individual, that is, based upon the performance of an individual, the angels who are constantly registering the tasks of ours, what we are doing throughout the life, there's a duty assigned to them and they register everything. So if a person repents, they are waived, they are erased. If a person doesn't, they stay there. So based upon the performance of an individual, Quran, it talks about both the groups, the good and the bad. The files that are good for them says that وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةٌ. That is, those whose performance was good, the faces on that day, which is the Day of Judgment, you'll find them fresh, you'll find them lively, you'll find them very, very happy. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةٌ. The reason for that happiness and that freshness that is being found in them is because of the performance which they had. Because the files were good, the performance were good, so the end and over there also it's going to be good. And then Allah says, "Fi jannatin aliyah," and they will be designated and assigned the lofty paradise. Jannatin aliyah, which is the high, the lofty Jannah. Now, these noble people, good people, they, after the tremor, the shaking of the Day of Judgment that would break open their graves, they will come out of their graves, and God knows how long that duration of that barzakh was, 1,000, 2,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000 years, no one knows. Barzakh is that period when a person departs from this dunya until he is resurrected. It doesn't mean barzakh, doesn't mean grave. Grave is something else. Barzakh means the moment a person departs from this dunya, he enters into barzakh. And the moment everything is resurrected and it is the Day of Judgment, then the duration of barzakh ends. Grave is something else. Because many a times people, they don't get a grave. If a person dies in a bomb blast, nothing remains of him, he doesn't get a grave. Or sometimes if someone dies in the oceans, he is buried in the sea, he doesn't get a grave. For him, that barzakh starts from the moment he departs from this world, for everyone. So, for the ayah says, لِسَّعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةٌ. Because of the performance which was good, they were pleased with the performance. They're striving in this dunya, they are happy, they are joyous, they are fresh, and their heart also is the same. Quran again elsewhere says, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. For those who had that bad performance, or the negative files, or the files were bad, For them also it's going to be a bad end, and the chastisement and that adab is also going to be there. Some of the things that do help in this aspect is that we have small du'as for every issue. And among them is this du'a which is to be recited when a person performs his wudu. What he says when he looks at the water, what he says when he washes his mouth, what he says when he cleans his nose, and what he says when he puts the water and washes his face. There is a du'a for every little of it. You don't need, if you could recite the Arabic of it, well and good. If you can't, at least have the meaning of it in your mind when you are performing your wuzu. And when performing the wuzu, the du'a that is to be uttered when a person washes his face says that Allahumma biyad wajhi yawma tabyadu fihi al-wujuh, that O God, make it as such that brighten my face the day when you will darken many faces. And don't it shouldn't be as such that on that day when the faces are being brightened, my face is not. And never make darken my face when the faces are going to be brightened on that day. That is a du'a which is to be recited. So it means brightening of a face, darkening of a face. All these are issues that have been mentioned in Quran. Again, files are good, files are bad, faces are bright, faces are dark. Faces, again, Quran says some faces will look charming and beautiful. And elsewhere says that some faces will be frightened. Why? وَوَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ, they are going to be very, very downcast, hurt, distressed, shattered, full of pain. Why is that? Says that their life in this world was full of vain with all that negativity that existed in the dunya. For that reason, their faces over there will be like that. So, some faces are broken, some faces are ashamed. The face and the skeleton just shaken, ugly, etc., etc. All these issues are mentioned in Quran. There is a hadith. Now, this hadith is being quoted from a book called Ilmul Yaqeen. And there are many amazing reports over there from the Prophet of Islam and other Ma'asumeen. I'll just quote two of them for you to get just an idea. Now, as I said earlier, this is just a general knowledge. There, what was meant by happy and sad faces, etc., 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 says إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْشَرُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ نِيَّاتِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that Allah will resurrect a human being, man, on the Day of Judgment based upon their inner self. Niyat over here doesn't mean the intention, it means by the inner self. The exterior of an individual, it makes nothing, as it was mentioned I think yesterday or before that. It's just a shell, it's just a coating that has been given to man, which is a tool. That tool has to be used to get to the destination, which is Allah. So, says that Allah, He will resurrect the inner self, which is the soul of an individual. The exterior, it is just a reflection of the interior. If the interior was good, the exterior also is good. That is why we are said that when you go to great personalities or those who you know that they have a connection with the unseen, or those who are sahib karamat, etc., when you go to their presence, what we are taught, say that ya sattar many times, so that they don't get access to your inner self. So that is an access denied to them if they want to get into yourself. So that is a protection, a further protection which Allah has said to you, that if there is bad in us and we don't want that bad to be revealed to those who have access, that to be recited. Now all these are realities, because as it was mentioned repeatedly, the dignity that Allah has given to an individual, it's azam min al-Kaaba, more than the honor that has been given to Kaaba. And that shouldn't be shattered in any way. It shouldn't be broken in any way. That has to be protected. Again, this is something which Zainab al-Kubra even teaches us that when that mal'oon, he says that I'll pay you your blood money, I'll give you that many coins, I'll give you that many riches, and I'll make all the arrangements to send you back to Medina, forgive me. She says that for a regular, ordinary person, Allah says his honor is Kaaba. He is worth more than the dignity of Kaaba.
Wow.
What would you say to Sayyid al-Shuhada?
Oh,
cannot
Allah
be compared. Here in this report, Ma'soom, he says that, the Prophet of Islam, he says that man will be resurrected based upon his inner self, because his looks are what his inner self are. If that is good, the looks are good. If not, not. If the inner status is bad, again the outer status is also bad. If his character from inside is bad, his reflection of that inner self also is bad. And then continues and says that يُحْشَرُ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ عَلَى سُوَرٍ, that many of the people, they will be resurrected in faces that يُحْسِنُ عِنْدَهَا الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ, that many a times you will find that these dogs, sorry, monkeys and pigs, they are much more good looking than those people that will be resurrected. So what beast is that? What animal is that? That monkeys and pigs look better compared to that man who will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment with those looks. What is that? An inner self filled with jealousy, with hatred, with hiqd to awliyaullah has that bad reflection. If you recall your memories, it was mentioned over here that man, if he is connected to awliyaullah, to waliyullah, he gains weight. Or again, if you remember, it was mentioned, I think, that an animal that is slaughtered in the way of halal, it becomes tahir for you. You can eat, you can consume. Everything in that animal is permitted for you. Animal which is not slaughtered in the way of halal, it's worthless. You have to dump it, throw it, spend it, so that it is decomposed. You can't. It's not worth laying, to be laid on the table of a mu'min.
Ya Allah.
It's worthless.
Ya Allah.
Human being not connected to waliullah is like that animal which is haram. It's worthless.
Ya Allah.
It's worthless.
Ya Allah.
Cannot be done. Just throw it away.
Ya Allah.
To understand this a bit better, there is a hadith from our seventh Imam Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
A person comes to him and says that, Imam, I am a follower of yours. I am a Shia. My father was not. He had no connection with you. And then he says that a person has come to me and he claims that your father, he owed me 1,000 dinars. A large amount. I don't know if it's his claim is right or wrong. There is no receipt. There is no witness. There is nothing written down. And I haven't got anything. What to do? Do I give him or do I not? Do I pay him or not? Imam says that tonight, after midnight, go to Baqi, which is the graveyard in Medina. And then he gives him some instructions to be recited. He goes to that graveyard, recites that dua, and then he says that an existence will appear. Do not be scared. Don't be afraid. That is your father. Ask him. If he says yes, pay him. If he says no, don't pay him. Simple. He says that I came to the graveyard after midnight. As Imam said, I recited and then I see an existence appear before me. Does not resemble any beast, any vulture, any wild animal in this world. A terrible existence appeared before me that I was scared. But Imam said not to be scared. Ask him, he's your father. I asked him, he said yes. You pay him. The person who claims, I do owe him that money, you pay him. And then Imam says the reason why he has appeared in the hereafter in that wretched, very bad, horrible status, it's because of that lack of connection with awliyaullah, with Imam, with Ma'soomin. So, it's exactly like that animal slaughtered in the way of halal. You can use it, you can touch it, you can eat it. No, it's not. So, when he says that some of these people, they will be resurrected in those wretched status that pigs and monkeys will look better before them, this is the reason. So that inner self was damaged, was bad, was full of all that trash, as a result of which they appeared in that way. And then continues and says that يُحْشَرُ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثَلَاثْ أَسْنَافْ, that people will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in three groups. What are these three groups? The Prophet then continues and says that some will be rukbanan, some will be mushat, wa'ala wujuhahim, some will be carried away, as if some will be riding. The term is rukban. Rukban means riding. What does it mean? Does it mean that there are some vessels, there are some cars, or a horse, a donkey that will carry them? Or when it says mushat, they will be on foot, walking. And elsewhere it says that ala wujuhahim, they will be on their faces. What does that mean? So three different terms mentioned over here. And then says the person who inquired the Prophet, فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَكَيْفَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ, how is it that people will walk on their faces? How is that? First come to that point, رُكْبَانًا, that what does it mean? Well, the reports, the riwayat that we have for آخر الزمان, for the time of the era of our 12th Imam, and we ask Allah, make it as such that we also witness and be with him at that time, are amazing. The knowledge that is present today throughout this dunya, it's just a fraction of what will be present during his time. A very, very minute fraction. Or if you remember that hadith that was mentioned regarding the knowledge of Prophet Khizr and Musa and what is with the Prophet of Islam and Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's something like that. The reports, they say that what is present now, all of the sciences, all of the knowledges that are available to man today, it's 2 out of 30 of what will be present then.
Ya Allah, to Allah.
And then many of these reports, they say that people will travel on light, on noor. Now what is this? We don't seem to understand. But a time will come that people will witness. Like us living today have all these this technology, if this was available or mentioned to someone who lived 50 years ago, no one would have believed. Or 1,000 years ago, if these things were to be said to the audience of Amir al-Mu'mineen, no one would ever understand anything. So this is something like that. So there will be things, the technology will be huge, vast, great, during the time of our 12th Imam, which we will never understand now. That is a reality. The report says, Rukbanan. Rukbanan means riding. Wants to say that they will be so light, the performance will be so good, that there will be no burden that will cling them down to earth. They will be so weightless with all those goodness and nothing bad, so they will just fly away. They will just be taken away, carried away because of their good performance. Or if you look into Surah Yasin, they say that, says that many a times you find that the deeds of an individual, they make him heavy and they bring him down to earth. They don't let him take flight. They don't let him elevate the bad and the evil of us. So there's a first group, because they are so lightweight, no burden on them, they will be carried away. There is a second group which is mushat, which will be on foot. They are those who are so much full of weight that they have to walk. They can't be carried away. They haven't got much performance that could be presented, as a result of which they need to walk. The third group is on wujuhahim, will be on their faces. And then this person asks the Prophet that how is it that people will walk on their faces? And then the Prophet of Islam, he explains that فَكَيْفَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ, and then Prophet says, أَلَّذِي أَمْشَاهُمْ عَلَى أَقْدَامِهِمْ قَادِرٌ عَلَى أَن يُمْشِيهِمْ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ, says that the same God who made you walk on your feet with your head up, that same God is capable, he can make you walk on your face rather than your feet. But we have amazing reports and riwayat elsewhere which talk even further. For example, someone who takes his prayers easy doesn't mean that he doesn't offer his prayers. He offers his prayers, but careless, not on time, not punctual, the room, the mood, the manner of the prayer, and all this is a lesson to myself first, is not there, not correct. For them, he says that they will be dragged onto their faces on the day of judgment. They will be dragged. Now why face? Face is the best feature or the best part of the body that has been given to man, which reflects everything that is in an individual. And for the face, a person spends more for his looks and charms and how he has to look, etc., etc., which you might not do to any other part of your body. So face is that first impression of an individual. Wow. Says, for that impression, who did not bow down in sajda before God properly should be dragged in that wretched way. And here says that, so someone, there will be a group which will be dragged, which will be made to walk on their faces. And then Rasulullah, he says that Allah who made you able to walk on your feet will make you walk on your faces. Now again, he continues that a person comes to the Prophet and says that, recites Amma yatasa'aluna 'anil naba'il 'azim, that, and then comes to this point, yawma yunfakhu fis-sur fata'tuna afwaja, that on the day of judgment when the trumpet will be blown, says that you shall come forth in hosts. Afwaja is the plural of fawj, means in large numbers, in armies. We believe that the usul are as such. We've got Tawheed, Adl, Nabuwwah, Imamah, Qiyamah. We believe in the Day of Judgment. A person when he dies, he enters Barzakh. The moment the trumpet is blown, which is the horn, and the prophets and the angel assigned to blow the trumpet is Israfil. He blows the trumpet once, and that will be the day of resurrection. And when it is the day of resurrection, everything will perish. Whatever exists will perish, will come to an end. A total standstill to everything. And once again, he will blow the trumpet after that, for the second time. Now, when will that be? Immediately after that, there will be a lapse. How long? That is all unknown. He will blow the trumpet once again. And when that trumpet is blown, everything that was created by Allah, from the first to the last, everything will be given life back, will be resurrected. Here says in this ayah that يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورْ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا, that on that day when the trumpet will be blown, you will come in hosts, in afwaj, in armies, in swarms, in big numbers. Why does it say that you will come in hosts, in armies, and not in societies? Doesn't say that you will come in small numbers. It says in large numbers, in hosts, in armies. Upon hearing this, when the person comes and asks the Prophet, why is it that afwaja? The Prophet starts crying. He cries so much that his shirt is damp and wet. And he then continues, says, فَبَكَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى بَلَّ الثِّيَابَ عَنْ دُمُوعِ عَيْنَيْهِ فَقَالَ أَيُّهَا السَّائِلُ سَأَلْتَنِي عَنْ أَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ, you've asked me of something great. إِنَّهُ يُحْشَرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَقْوَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِثْنَا عَشْرَ صَفًّا, that people will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in 12 saf, in 12 batches. Just 12 batches. فَيَأْتُ عَلَىٰ سُورَةِ الْقِرَدَةِ هُمُ الْفَتَّانُونَ فِي النَّاسِ, that a batch, a saf, a group or an army, as that ayah says, of people, they will be resurrected, they will be brought, who resemble monkeys.
Ya Allah.
Who are they? Humul fattanuna fil nas. They are those who strive to break, to disunite, to create fights, quarrels, disunity among the people. So God knows what is going to be the end of these mala'in who create all that mess among the countries, between the countries, all these different things, so that the people, they constantly keep on fighting. Fitna. Quran says, "Well, fitna to ashadd min al-qatl." That fitna, these conspiracies or creating disunity, breaking that ittihad or creating fights and quarrels, may that be among families, may that be among individuals or among, on a larger scale, among communities or even larger scale between cities, countries, etc. Quran says, "Well, fitna to ashadd min al-qatl." Fitna, it's worse than qatl. A person, if he does kill someone, if he sees the punishment in this dunya, Allah will not ask for that killing which he has killed, for that murder in the hereafter. If he hasn't seen the punishment for that, then Allah will punish him in the hereafter, whatever the punishment is. But for fitna, Quran says, أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. It's much, much more severe than qatl. All these different misunderstandings that are created, right wing, left wing, etc., etc., all these are these things that come in that category of fitna. وَالثَّانِي يَحْشُرُ عَلَى سُورَةِ الْخَنَازِيرُ وَأَهْلُ السُّعْدِ. They will be resurrected in the faces and forms of pigs, and they are those who eat haram and unlawful without any hesitation. There are some people that once in a while they might munch a sandwich or have a sip. There are people, they just eat haram without any hesitation. No limits, no bounds at all. Yeah. Here in America I come across very beautiful things every now and then. Just 2-3 months. 2-3 months ago, I was in one of these cities here, and there when I talked about this concept of halal and zabiha and all that, a person, he comes up and says that, "Mawlana, you say that you have to, that animal has to be slaughtered and it has to be alive, and then in Bismillah has to be said facing Qibla, Muslim, etc., etc." He says, "I went to the butcher, a Muslim, and I asked for a chicken. He slaughtered that animal, he gave it to me." I said, "You didn't say Bismillah." "Nothing." He says, "It's halal, take it." He says, "I saw you, you haven't said anything, and now you said it's halal." And then the butcher says to this person that if I am to say Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah from morning to night on every animal, I wouldn't be a butcher, I would be a waliullah. He says, "I wouldn't be a butcher then." So I just say, I just come in the morning, say Bismillah once, and just blow it on that knife, and that lasts for until the evening. So all these things I get a lot here. Or once again, in Atlanta, a chicken was brought to the mosque. It was quite tasty. And then everyone said, "What was the recipe?" "We got it from Kroger's." And when the masala was said to them, she says that "Morkiv Arabi Baladniske Shomre, hey Bismillah, Bismillah, Bechonit Gushish." Says that a chicken doesn't understand Arabic, that you want to say Bismillah and Allahu Akbar. So, wathani. So people, there will be a batch that will be resurrected in the face of pigs. Now this was just a joke, but in reality it's not a joke. If someone does that purposely, knowingly, eats haram, that is the end. The Prophet says that will be resurrected in the forms and faces of a pig.
Ya Allah.
Again, There is another batch says that يَحْشُرُ عُمْيًا فَيَتَعَلَّقْ بِهِمُ النَّاسِ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَجْبُرُونَ الْحُكْمِ says people, a batch will be resurrected blind. They are those who were in the judiciary and gave a verdict of tyranny and oppression. All these wrong verdicts that are given, witnesses that are being given as wrong witnesses, or just a lie by giving, by bribing people, you get a negative. Alaykum salam. You get a negative witness and give a ruling which shouldn't be the ruling. For them, they will be resurrected blind. Quran says that وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ that this earth has to be ruled by the pious, and that is the ultimate word of Allah, and it will be as such that it will be ruled by the pious, and that is our 12th Imam, and the entire world also is going to be righteous. When it comes to judiciary has to be the most pious. Whoever is given the charge of being a judge, we, the ahkam that we have, or the fiqh, or the faith that we have, it says that this mansab, or the rank of a judge, is the rank which belongs to the prophets, which belongs to the imams. Mm. And in his absence, whoever is a judge, the first quality is that he has to be adil. He has to be just. Justice in every aspect. First comes that ityanul wajibat wa tarkil muharramat. He has to be a Muslim, he has to be a Shia, he has to be a 12th Imam, 12 Imami. And then in addition to that, everything halal, everything wajib has to be done by him. And everything haram has to be put aside, has to be abstained. Only then that person can be classified and called a judge. A person, if he is to be a judge, he should judge like Dawood, like Prophet Sulaiman, like Amirul Mu'mineen. Well, no one can ever judge like Amirul Mu'mineen, like them, but still, because the system is such, or the rank and the position is the position which belongs to them, a person has to be a reflection of them. And based upon that, he has to judge. And if he does not judge in accordance to what is taught to him by them, then he will be resurrected blind. In a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that the day a person accepts to be a judge, that day he puts himself on the falling point of, for example, a Grand Canyon, as if he is sitting on the tip of it and he could fall any time. Now, over here, he says that sits at the edge of Jahannam. There is any time, any moment he could slip into it. Says the moment, the day he accepts to be a judge, for 30 years he is like that. Now, again, he has to be extra careful. Now, all this is when it comes to the judiciary in an Islamic state. Again, elsewhere it's the same. Although that righteous rank is not possessed rightfully, but again, the ultimate consequences are that if they are judged beyond that framework of justice, or it was a bunch of lies that he ruled out, then he will be resurrected blind in the hereafter. And then says that summan wa bukman humul mu'jibuna bi'a'malihim. There will be a group that will be resurrected deaf and dumb. Says there are those who are proud of their actions, that I've done so many prayers, I've done so many salats, I've done so such and such thing, what and what not, etc., etc. Or I've made a mosque, I was a trustee, I was, etc. Now these things that you would know for yourself. There was a very jolly speaker. He once came to a mosque and, well, you don't have those things over here because it's just a very... says that he comes to a mosque, and it was quite a beautiful mosque with a very nice chandelier hanging in the middle of that gumbad, on that dome. And the prettiest part of a chandelier is the base of it, which when a person looks at it, that's the first thing which hits to his eye. And made of crystal, very beautiful. And the person who had given this to the mosque as a charity, he had written his name, his father's name, his mother's name, his brother's name, what and what not. They were all written on that beautiful crystal plate. Now this jolly speaker says that had he, at least he should have left some space for that light to come out of that chandelier. So that too is again something that many a times you find people, they want to give away something, they want to do something, but at the same time that name and fame has to be them. No. If there is something that is being given to Allah, being done for Allah, you don't need to have a name, fame. No. If that name, that fame, that charm comes automatically from Allah. Do something, as they say that, see a pin and pick it up all the day, you'll have good luck. The same thing is with Allah, but in multiplied by human, by infinity. That He rewards, He gives in the best possible way. And we are said that when we do want to give away a charity to someone, give it in a way with your right hand that your left hand doesn't know this has done. It should be so much. When it comes to mustahabbat, keep them covered. When it comes to wajibat, no, doesn't matter, show off. If you are paying homes, tell them, yeah, I went there to pay my homes. If it is zakat, yeah, so that people know that he is a practicing person, he is. But when it comes to charity, mustahab, hide it. And again, says that this group, who humul mu'jibuna bi'a'malihim, they are those who are proud of their actions, will be resurrected deaf and dumb. Again, there is a group that will be resurrected. Now, I said to you earlier that this is just a general knowledge. Now, most of these things, alhamdulillah, they might not be present in us or are irrelevant to us. There is going to be a group, a batch, that will be resurrected. And this is horrible. It says that they are those from whose mouths will pour blood and infection, and they will continuously bite their tongues. Who are they? هم العلماء الذين يخالفوا بأقوالهم أعمالهم. They are those who knew, and knowingly their actions, their deeds were adverse to what they knew. Performance was bad, knowledge was good.
Ya Allah,
Ya Allah.
The new prayers are wajib, never prayed. The new khums has to be paid, never paid. Hijab was wajib, never performed. Knowledge was there, performance was not there. It says, for them that bad. And elsewhere says that أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That Quran says, with reference to those who know, to the ulama, to the aware, that you invite people to good and you forget yourself. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. Once you recite the book, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And else, and then comes وَهُمُ الشَّاهِدُونَ بِالزُّورِ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسْعَوْنَ فِي الشَّهَوَاتِ وَاللَّذَّاتِ. 7. When they are resurrected, Allah has stuck their foot on their forehead.
Ya Allah.
And from their rear, they will smell worse than a decayed corpse. Who is that? وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسْعَوْنَ فِي الشَّهَوَاتِ وَالْلَذَّاتِ. These are these adulterers, the womanizers, the nude, all this sex industry that has come up.
Oh God.
As a business, as a trade, etc., etc., which they speak and talk about so loud as a great big business. For them, Allah says, the Prophet says, that is the end. That their foot will be on their forehead and with them. That bad odor coming from them.
Astaghfirullah.
And then the Prophet says that, have you seen this verse which says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَبُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ, that they are those who bought this dunya بِالْآخِرَةِ, the life of this dunya over akhirah. They sold everything away. Whence, if you remember, it was said that the price of a human being is the paradise. And selling him something, selling himself to a price which is lower than the paradise, is sustaining a huge, big loss. So for them, just the lust and the pleasure of this world was their desire, and for them that will be the end. And then says that, يَسْقُطُ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا وَهُمْ يَمْنَعُونَ حَقَّ اللَّهِ. There will be a batch that will be resurrected, and when they will be resurrected, you will find them toppling and dozing left and right, and they are those who did not pay their dues, their funds, their zakat, their homes. And then the Prophet, he recites this ayah saying that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, recites this ayah saying that, give away from what you gain the best of it. What is the best of it? It's that zakat, it's that khums, which is the right of the imam, which that has to be paid out. And then says that a niggard, a bakhil, he will arrive on mahshar drunk. He knows not what he is saying, he does not understand anything, but he will be resurrected like that.
Ya Allah.
9. Those clothed in burning copper, they are those who backbited, finding their faults and projecting in the community. وَعَلَيْهِمْ سَرَابِيل مِنْ قَطِرَانَ أَلَّذِينَ يَغْتَابُونَ النَّاسِ وَيَتَجَسَّسُونَ. They are those who backbite in the community, and they are those who do tajassus. Tajassus means being nosy or informing or the secret services, etc., etc. All this is haram. No one has right to look into another person. There are thousands of faults that are present in an individual, but if that is for the sake of a good cause, that is something else. That if you want to guide someone, if you want to guide someone, and if it is for the name and fame, no, all those are tough situations which normally we don't need them. But in normal and regular circumstances, that is not allowed. Backbiting is not allowed. Finding faults in others, that is not allowed. Allah says that thousands of faults present in you, I never bring them up even before myself. I hide them for you. Then what right have you got to project and to put up the faults present in other persons?
God.
There is a hadith from Prophet Isa. He says, now this is something which is reported from the 6th Imam. A person comes and asks him, he quotes from Prophet Isa. Again, that is something being taught to us by Ma'asumeen, that is tawadhu, that is humbleness. That if you want to say something, quote it from the right source. That you might be knowing it. Although the authority which Imam is, it's high, that cannot be compared to the Prophet's. But he quotes it from the Prophet, says that he has said like that. Says that during the time of Prophet Isa, he with his associates, with his Hawariyun, were once in a meeting, and then Prophet Isa asks them, if those present over here in this mosque, if you find one of them is asleep and his private parts are showing, visible, what would you do? They start laughing and mocking, says the Prophet Isa, it's understood. We'll just put a blanket on him so that it's not seen, it's covered. He says, no, you will not do that, but you will uncover it even more. And then they say, why do you say that? He says, that is the evil of an individual that is present. And when you get knowledge to that such a person, that is his identity, that is the negative present in him, you never hide it. What you do is that you go and project it even more and go and tell that to other members of the community. That is not allowed. So how Prophet Isa sets the parable and then he teaches that if there is a negative in an individual, hide it, cover it, and Allah will cover you. Don't hide, don't cover, Allah also will not cover you. It's as simple as that. The whole concept or the entire science, you could say, or the logic behind the entire creation is causality, is cause and effect. He created, it was created. He put into order, it was put into order. There is a nazm in everything. Do, you will reap. Sow, you will find, etc., etc. The same thing is in these issues. Performance good, output also will be good. If you reveal the bad of a person, bad of yours will be revealed. It's as simple as that. And then continues and says that وَيَمْشُونَ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't be after finding faults of my servants. They have faults as you have faults. Why are you after their faults? Me who has covered his faults with, why do you uncover them? During the time of Rasulullah, the advent of Islam, there came a large number of people to embrace, to accept Islam. There Rasulullah also could have said, so it says that يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, that people in large numbers, they used to come and say, Rasulullah, we want to embrace. Say, La ilaha illallah, okay, you are a Muslim. He knew them, who were they, what their performance was, but never touched that part of their life at all. You came to become a Muslim, accept it. Whatever wrong, I have nothing to do with that. I don't want to uncover them. They lived with the Prophet in Medina. The Prophet also, when they died, he cried for them. He was in their funeral services, etc., etc. Although they were those who hurt him, who had hurt him. Usman bin Mas'ud and the Prophet, he cries a lot. Did they not have faults? We have to have the akhlaq of hiding the faults of others, even if they are. We have no right to uncover them. وَالْعَاشِرْ خَارِجِينَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ مِنْ قَفَاهُمْ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا أَصْحَابُ النَّمِيمَةِ. Again, the tenth is that they cooperated. Their tongues will be out, hanging out from their rear.
Oh God.
وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا أَصْحَابُ النَّمِيمَةِ. They are those who had this namima, that is, creating quarrels and fights. It's worse than backbiting. Cooperated with others in disputing and making others fight with each other. For them, that way they will be resurrected. 11. يُحْشَرُونَ سُكْرَانَ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتَحَدَّثُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ بِحَدِيثِ الدُّنْيَا. Now, the above 10, we might not be the applicable of any one of the 10, but this one we might be. That is, says that people, they will be resurrected drunk. وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ. They are those who, when they come to the mosques, they talk about these different charms and beauties of dunya. A mosque is a place where people, they get together to get the remembrance of God. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That to a mosque, when a person comes, it should be a place of rest, not rest of the soul. The soul has to be at rest. He feels relaxed, easy, cozy when he wants to communicate with God. And a mosque should be clean, tidy. The atmosphere should be nice. The cooling, the heating, whenever, whatever the temperature should be. So that whoever comes in, he is relaxed. When he is relaxed, he can offer a better service. When he offers a better service, he becomes a better person. If the mosque is a mess, everything is just scattered everywhere. The cooling is not right. The heating is not right. The walls, everything is out of order. It's just a huge, big mess. Then a person, when he comes, he wants to offer his prayers. Everything that is in his heart is that that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be there. It should be clean. That should be there. All these different questions, they come into one's heart. But if everything is in order, he comes in and says his prayers, relaxed. So all these are little things that are being taught to us, have been told to us. If they are observed, the benefit also, it's for us, we benefit from it. And someone who builds a mosque, a person, Rasulullah, he says that if someone does build a mosque, not a huge big mosque, not a lavish building with all those ornaments, with all those million dollar project, no, just a simple mosque. A mosque doesn't mean that it has to have all those lavish luxuries in it, no. Rasulullah, he says that kamafhasi qutat. Qutat is that tiny bird. If she was to make a nest, how big she would make a nest? As big as a shoebox. Not more than that. He says if someone was to build a mosque as tiny as that shoebox, wajabat lahul jannah. Allah will make paradise wajib on him. So it's the intention of an individual that he wants to have this place of worship established. If it's established in the best possible way, although with no means, with less means, but whatever to the maximum ability that is present, so that others benefit from it. Among the things that do help in them, it's the first impression of a place of worship comes from the toilets. If they are well maintained, or even in Iran, when they used to say that if you want to go and find to find a girl, a spouse for yourself, first go to the toilets and see. If the toilets are nice and clean, it means that the girl over there, she's also sure. Well, that's the trick, yeah. Well, again, that is not in every city. In some cities, they used to say that. In some cities, they have some other tricks. Sometimes they used to say that if you go to see them, the rug which you are sitting on, just turn the rug and see what's under it. If you find the rug, under the rug is also clean, very nice, then accept blindly. So, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. He says that the mosques, they are for Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Never call anyone else with Allah in that mosque. So when you come to the mosque, it should be only the remembrance of Allah. Only that pattern which has been laid. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That if you say that you love Allah, follow Him, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. As in, and in return, you will find that Allah also loves you. 12. A group will appear, very ugly, horrific, unbearable look, a detestable face. Who are they? I think many of the large or the businesses today, they should be go there. هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. They are those who consumed, the consumers of riba, of interest, of jewry. They are those who until their death, they consumed jewry. Now, it may happen that a person during his lifetime, once in a while, twice, he did commit this sin, but then he repented later on. So he's not the applicable of this. It's those frontliners or the hardliners or those who are in this business or who live and dwell on jewelry and interest, for them that is being. So these were the 12 things that the Prophet of Islam has mentioned. The 12 groups or the batches that will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. Now this was just general knowledge to each one of us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us in understanding these great sayings and make it as such that the livelihood which we have is the livelihood which the Prophet of Islam wants us to have. And O God, make it as such that our death is that which He wants us to have. In His service with Him, and we are resurrected with Him, and we are blessed with the shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. May Allah Jalla wa Ala accept the services performed during these nights in this center bi qabool and hasan, and may He tabarak wa ta'ala never take these opportunities from us ever. Our children may He enlist among the best Muslims, and may He hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam and enlist us among His best supporters and servants.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Yeah.